Jesus' birth and Jesus' baptism are all a part of the salvation that we reflect on when we talk about the incarnation. They are part of the salvation of our bodies, of creation. They are finished. This work that is begun in Jesus' birth and his baptism is finished in his death, and his bodily resurrection. Why were the people of Israel washing themselves? Why were they being baptized by John? Why do we wash our hands, especially? When our hands are dirty, you know, dirt transmits from one thing to the next. It spreads. So we wash our hands, whether it's before we eat, or whether it's to keep other things clean, if we're handling paper or our clothes or shaking hands with other people. Uncleanness spreads from contact. In the Old Testament, what we see in the books of the law is God making a connection in people's minds between their physical washing and the spread of what is unclean and their spiritual washing, their morality, their rightness with each other and their rightness with God. And so washing was a regular part of gathering for worship for the Jewish people. It was especially so for the priests, but there was washing instructions left for everyone throughout the law. When we come to Ezekiel, we see that this washing has become a metaphor for God's people, and that there is a new age expected, a new time of God acting in amongst humanity and on earth. And Ezekiel uses the metaphor of water and washing, of bringing new life that will transform people's connection with each other, people's connection with God, and even nature itself. Cities will be rebuilt, and God will live among people. As we approach the time of Jesus, after the Jews had returned and rebuilt their city, had rebuilt the temple, what we find is that there were built little baths around their place of worship. Some of them were in homes, some of them were in Masada, some in Jerusalem, some in Qumran. And the people would immerse themselves in these baths as a part of preparing for worship. They found upwards of 1,000 of these in that vicinity in archaeological digs. But John was in the Jordan. Now perhaps John, it would be really nice if, you know, when people would do symbolic things in the Bible, if they would explain what they were getting at. But maybe John was thinking of the Exodus and the God's people passing through the Red Sea and Egypt being destroyed. God's people passing through the Jordan out of the wilderness for 40 years and into the promised land, where they would have their own homes and their own fields and their own cities, and God would bless them and be among them. Perhaps John had all of this in mind. Purification, washing away the sins, preparing for worship, and preparing for the coming of the Messiah and the coming King and his coming kingdom. And then Jesus appeared. Now Jesus, it was John's conviction that Jesus had no sin, that Jesus was already washed and clean. He was right with God. He was right with everyone. He was right with creation. And so John objected and said, "You come to me. Who am I to do this for you? You are the one that I've been waiting for to wash me and to baptize me with your spirit." But Jesus insisted and said, "Allow me to do this, for it is fitting for us in this way to fulfill all that is right." Fitting for us to fill up everything that is right. With these words, Jesus suggests that there's something more than repentance going on here. If Jesus didn't have anything to repent of, and he spoke of it as being for everyone, it is something more than just the washing away of sin. Jesus' very body was baptized into material water. A human mortal body was taken and it was submerged into physical water. But at the same time, it is our confession, it is our conviction that this was deity being submerged into the waters of earth, that this was divinity being submerged and baptized into creation. And in that moment when deity is within the earth, the heavens were opened briefly. God's voice was heard by people on earth, and the Holy Spirit was suddenly visible to the eyes of those who were watching and came down as a dove. What we have is, of course, a picture of Genesis 1, of the moment of creation when in the darkness of the earth, the voice of God is heard over the waters and the Spirit of God hovers over those waters. But it's also here a foretaste of heaven and earth united on the day of salvation. Jesus' baptism is an affirmation of creation itself. It's an affirmation of flesh and blood. It's an affirmation of our bodies. It's an affirmation that the material world is compatible with heaven, with the Spirit. They don't need to be opposed. They don't need to reject each other or cancel each other out. One doesn't just take over the other and do away with it. But there is a union that is possible within creation and within humanity especially. Baptism is therefore essential for everyone. If you have not taken this step yet, no matter how old you are, maybe even how young you are, if you have not taken this step, now is the time to do this. Now is the time to get ready. We always have them at Easter, and so if you're ready for that, if you're thinking of, you even want to just talk about it, please speak with me or Kaylee or Cheryl after the service, or anytime. Jesus' baptism, though, Jesus' birth and his baptism, the incarnation, is why how we live matters. What we do with our bodies matters. That is why John was so firm and so urgent in his warnings. Produce fruit that is consistent with righteousness. The axe is at the foot of the tree. And everything that does not be treated, that every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down. What we do in our bodies matters. And God has given us a number of days and has asked us to be faithful to the end. And to the end, it will matter. Jesus' baptism is why water matters. It is why nature matters. It is why we are called to care for it as God's stewards, to care for this world that God said, this is good. This is why creation matters. God entered it. The theologians will tell us that by doing this, Jesus made it holy. He sanctified the waters of earth. He sanctified creation. We might think of it perhaps as a place or a thing that has special meaning for us because it's connected to someone that we either care about deeply or we're impressed by. So I don't know why this is in my mind, but the dress of Marilyn Monroe, you know, is very special. And someone got to wear it. I can't remember who it was. And that was a big deal. It's a special thing that is a dress like any other dress, as far as I would think. But no, it was special. Now, I know some of you, I think, have been to the land of Israel and have visited some of the places that Jesus walked. And perhaps this is a better illustration for us. To see Bethlehem and to imagine if it were possible that we could discern the stable that Jesus was born in would be a hallowed and sacred place. You would have to be moved by that moment to walk along the same roads, to think that Jesus walked on this path. if it were possible to find the empty tomb and to wonder at it. That is maybe an illustration of what it is like, at least in our feelings, in our imaginations. But what theologians tell us is that what actually happened is that God made creation sacred. Jesus blessed it by entering it. Jesus blessed our bodies by becoming human, becoming flesh. Jesus' conception in the womb of Mary, Jesus, God as a fetus, Jesus' birth as a baby, and the baptism of his body, this is why the church struggles with abortion. This is why the church has a hard time condoning taking one's life with help from a doctor. I know these are not easy topics. I know there is deep pain connected with both of those topics. I know these are complex issues. I know people might say, what about alleviating suffering? Yes, exactly. Suffering. Jesus' birth and his baptism were a commitment from Jesus to endure suffering to the end, trusting that through that suffering, God would bring about redemption and salvation. Jesus said, allow this to happen, John. It is fitting for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. That word fulfill, it can have that tone of fulfilling duties, but it can also have that idea of filling up to the highest possible point. Like, I've led a fulfilling life. I've led a full life. And righteousness, we can think of it in the narrow black and white way as right and wrong. And so Jesus can be heard to be saying here, let's just go through this hoop. It's important to fulfill all the requirements of God here. I don't see Jesus ever saying that anywhere in the Gospels. He's always opposed to people going through the motions and just dealing with things superficially. What I hear Jesus saying here, this is necessary for us to fill up everything that is right for us between us and God and between us and one another and between us and creation. This is necessary. Baptism is necessary. John did not seek Jesus out. Jesus came and found John. And hearing Jesus' voice, John tells us in the Gospel of John, hearing Jesus' voice fulfilled John's joy. Who is it who comes to whom? It is always Jesus seeking us. There are times where we feel restless and alone. I am convinced that those are moments that God is calling us, that Jesus is calling us. And that is why we're feeling that tension in those moments. Not God's absence, but rather Jesus drawing near to us. And we're feeling the tension. We want to see him face to face. We want to hear his voice. There's still a distance. It is always Jesus who is drawing near to us. Jesus comes to us, and so often the reaction that we have is, you've come to me and you are asking me to serve you in this way. Who am I to do that? Who am I to serve you? Who is it that prevents Jesus then from fulfilling what is right for us? It was John who tried to prevent Jesus from fulfilling what was right for him and for all of creation. And it is so often us, so often we, who prevent Jesus from fulfilling what is right for us. We are the ones who stand in the way. And Jesus responds, allow me to do this for you. Allow me to do this. This table is always a symbol of the call of Jesus. He is the one who has prepared this meal, and he is calling you to take part. He is calling you to say, allow me to do this for you. Allow me to die for you. Allow me to give my life for you so that you might live, so that you might have the strength to face whatever suffering is before you to the end, and know that I will be there. I will be the one to seek you out in that moment. I will be at your side. And on the day of resurrection, you will rise bodily with me. This table, as we eat it, goes with us. Jesus' baptism was meant to show us, in part at least, that as we go out into a world that is blessed by God, that God is saving, a God that has been hallowed. This meal is a reminder that Jesus is the life of the world, that as we go out into a world that is given to us by God for our life, and it came at the price of Jesus' death. Let us prepare then for this meal, that we might be filled up with all that is right, that we might be made right with God and with one another and with creation, and eat, therefore, with thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Amen.